from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And we are going down to Southern Utah today to meet with Landon Dennis. Landon, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Just got off work and got cleaned up and excited to talk with you, Eric.
For our listeners, Landon is awesome, and he has come a long ways from where he was before his NDE, and we're going to be talking about all that. You're going to absolutely love it. Before we jump into it, we're going to do two things. Landon, I'm going to ask you to just tell us a little bit about you and just take 60 seconds to do that. And then Landon has asked if he could give a brief prayer before we get into his story. So Landon, after you introduce yourself, go ahead and jump into that, and then I'll start asking questions.
All right, that sounds perfect. Well, my name's Landon Dennis. I live in St. George, Utah. I am the youngest of 8 kids. You know, I learned a lot from having 7 other siblings to pick on me growing up. A big thing in my life is I'm a recovering drug addict, and I've learned a lot in life from the experiences that have happened to me from that. And that's actually one thing that led up to my near-death experience. Well, it had to do with drugs, but I love to go arrowhead hunting. I love archaeology, music, guitar, piano, history. And there's a lot of that down here in St. George, Utah to go mess around with. I mean, I could go on for days about myself, but I think that's pretty good.
That's perfect.
Okay. Would you mind if I said a little prayer before we get into this now?
Now's a good time. Go right ahead.
Awesome. And one thing I want people to know is, and you'll hear it from my story, that prayer for me is not a religious thing. It is a spiritual thing that I was taught and shown during my near-death experience and how it can help us. So I appreciate it. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me be here with Eric today to speak about the experiences that I went through and the things that I learned, and for my ability to be able to be here on earth today and still be able to talk and walk with others and share this experience. And Heavenly Father, please help me to share my experiences and the lessons that I learned in the best way possible to help others that are listening to this program. And please help them feel the sincerity of the things I say and have them have an open heart and an open mind. And again, thank you for all the blessings that we have in this world, Heavenly Father. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Landon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, I think we ought to jump right into it. We're only going to have to go back a couple of years to a medical emergency that led to your NDE. But can you give us a little bit of background before that? You already mentioned drug addict. What in your life led up to that?
I am very accident prone. Very, very. I mean, they say cats have 9 lives. I'm about to 18. I'm not sure how many more I got in me, but I've been hit by 3 cars on bike and walking. I've overdosed and died so many times. I fell off a second story building from overdosing onto a car before. And what first got me into my addiction with drugs that leads to my near-death experience was a lot of those accidents. And I was prescribed certain things like pain pills and stuff. And at the time, I wasn't an addict because it happened from a young age. I started getting prescribed those things more and more as my accidents happened. And eventually that progressed into me being a heroin addict. And just about anything else you can think of, if any of your listeners have ever had addiction or have family members who have addiction issues, then they'll understand that it progresses quickly and it takes everything in your life away even quicker. And so that's kind of what led up to my NDE, was me having these physical things happen to me and slowly taking things out of my life, like my first fiance, my first daughter. I lost them. I became homeless for years in Layton, Utah. It took away everything that was good in my life. But my whole life, I've also had very paranormal experiences, both good and bad. I call them shadow people. I grew up in a house that was very haunted, and that manifests itself both physically and spiritually. And so from a very young age, I was messed with a lot growing up in that house. But on the flip side, since a very young age, I've also had family members who have passed away who have visited me in dreams. One of them was my grandpa, and another was my niece who passed away in a car accident around the age of 16. And she actually came to me in a dream just before my parents got the phone call to find out that she had gotten in a car accident and passed away. She came and spoke with me before that. So yeah, my whole life I've had very interesting things, both good and bad. And I've just been, I guess, attuned to those things. I don't know what you would call it, but they've been very scary and very awesome at the same time, depending on the situations. I've experienced a shadow being that would stand in the corner of my room from a young age, like a 7 foot tall cloaked looking figure that would give me sleep paralysis, is what people call it. I mean, I wouldn't be able to move. And there was another thing that would mess with me, and it would give me what are called frightmares, to where I would be awake physically running and screaming around and running. But I only remembered as me being asleep, being tormented by this, I don't know what people want to call it. I don't know what to call them, but I call them the dark side shadow people is the best explanations I have for it. And so my whole life, I've experienced a lot of really cool things and a lot of really terrifying things too, just growing up my whole life.
All right. Well, let's go back to 2 years ago. What happened on that particular day?
Okay. So that day I was very deep into my drug addiction. And what had happened is I went to go pick up drugs just a few blocks down from my house. And I got on my little Vespa that I had just bought, the little scooter. And when I got to the house, when I did the drugs, because I was an IV user, I overdosed. I don't know if I died or not, but I overdosed, and they had to Narcan me quite a few times. And I finally came back. And I don't remember any of that. From what I'm telling you now until my near-death experience where I was above my body, this is the last thing I remember, is going to the house to get drugs. And I guess I overdosed. They Narcan me. I came back and I just went and jumped on my Vespa again and went to go take off up the road to get back home and got hit by a car. I learned this later, you know, in the medical reports and everything like that. And I guess after getting hit by that car, I got up and fled the scene on my Vespa again somehow, really messed up. And luckily I was close enough to home that I made it home. My Vespa was covered in blood and stuff. But I guess when I got home, my wife says I walked in the front door and was acting weird, and I had blood on me. And I walked into the bathroom and shut the door. And I remember how I used to do my drugs. And I would go sit up on this high countertop, almost Indian style, and it look into the mirror as I did it. And what happened again is I overdosed again. And this is all in the span of about 20-ish minutes that these three things happened that I don't remember these parts. But when I did that, I fell straight backwards off this high countertop and just cracked my head on tile after already being hit by a car and overdosing right before that. And my wife just got this really bad feeling, and she had heard a noise, but she got a bad feeling and she came to check on me, and there was just a puddle of blood under my head. There's more to it on her side, but to make it simple is that it terrified her because she tried lifting my arm and it just fell back down. She was trying to wake me up, and I was like blue and purple. My head was cracked open, bleeding. So she called the paramedics and they came, and I was talking with her the other night, and I guess they told her, hey, you need to leave. Like, we need to get him in the ambulance right now. And she said that when they opened my eyes, one was tiny, my pupil, and the other one was huge and dilated. And so they put me in the ambulance, and she asked to come along, and they said, no, you can't. We are trying to revive him right now. And this is about where my near-death experience kicks in, is where I come above the ambulance at this point. And so, like I said, I remember going to get the drugs, and then this is where it kicks in, where I'm above the ambulance, looking down at my body with this group of people working on me, trying to revive me. It was like I could see through the ambulance. One of the worst parts of that is that while I was up above the ambulance, looking through it and watching them work on me, I was feeling the worst anxiety, the worst loss, tragedy. Normally I get really emotional during this part, just even thinking about it. It gives me anxiety the way I felt, because I was so confused of like what's happening. Why am I looking at my body? Why are these people seeming so distressed and working on me? And I remember they were drilling something into my knee to put a needle, an IV into my knee. That's one thing I remember that verifies my near-death experience, that I was actually seeing what was going on while I was flatlined. That's when they started rushing me to the hospital, and I can't even describe the horrible feelings that I was feeling, and just the anxiety, scared, depression, loss, anything you can think of that is just makes you feel absolutely horrible is what I was experiencing there. And as it got to this point where I was so confused and terrified and wondering, like, what is this? All of a sudden just went boom, instantly to another place. It was so crazy because it went from feeling like how people describe hell. That's what I feel like. I was in some sort of realm that just pure anxiety, sadness, depression, and just boom, instantly I was in another place. There was no like tunnels or white lights or anything like that, but I was just standing in this huge, huge grass field, and all those bad feelings were gone. I remember looking down at the grass because I was feeling so much love coming to me all of a sudden from being above that ambulance to boom, being in a grass field and feeling so much love. And I remember when I looked down, I could tell that each blade of grass loved me. It's so hard to describe in words. I still try to think of the right words to describe it, but the grass was so green, the closest that I can come to. I mean, so vivid. And it's something that here on earth I pass by every day and it means nothing to me. But there, it was basically telling me it loved me and having me feel that. And as I looked out over the field, because I have bad eyesight, I have glasses, but wherever I was there, I remember looking out over the field towards this big hill in the distance that was just an arched hill. And I just saw all these indescribable colored lights coming up from behind that hill. And the way I describe it is if you were to shine like a bright light into a diamond, you know, those refractions of colors that come from that. It was like that. Those lights were like that. And there was many, many, many of them. And the coolest thing started happening is that I saw this red-ish color light. And like I say, when I try to say the colors, it doesn't do it any justice. But this reddish color light was my grandpa, who had passed away back in 2007. I saw him as a light behind this hill. I didn't see him, but I felt him. And he was literally like giving me like a hug, telling me that he loved me and that he was happy and he was okay. As this is happening, I started to be able to discern this like pink violet type light. It was my niece who had passed away in that car accident. And she was doing the same thing to me. It's almost like both of them both came up and gave me like this bear hug, but with emotions. It was so much better than even being able to see them in person, to be able to feel them and feel them saying they love me and that they were okay and they're happy. It was so incredible. And in that moment, I wanted to go back behind that hill because there was more lights. And I was feeling a lot of love, not just from the grass, but from my grandpa and my niece. And I wanted to go back there. And in that moment, as I thought that, I felt this wonderful presence just a little behind me to the right. And I felt that. And so I turned a little bit, and there was just this beautiful young lady standing there just smiling at me, sending me waves of comfort and love again. And one crazy thing I can tell you is I know I was related to her somehow. And I didn't ask, which I regret to this day, but I know I was related to her. She started communicating with me, but her mouth did not move. She only had this just beautiful, almost smirk smile of like, understanding how much it was like she was almost like, look how cool this is that he's feeling all this love and feeling these family members who have passed on, that almost like, how cool is it to witness him get these confirmations that his family is okay and they're still doing something on whatever you want to call it, the other side. And like I said, I don't know what the different realms are that I was in, because one of them was above that ambulance, which was horrible. It's something I never want to experience again. And then the next one was this grass field. And as she's speaking with me, I feel again, I don't see first, I feel another presence. And I kind of look a little more to the right, and there's a man standing there. And they both looked like they were about in their 30s. And he started communicating with me too. And the way I describe it to people is that if I said the word fire to you, as soon as I said that word fire, you would see the glow of a fire. You would feel the warmth of it. You would hear the crackling firewood. You would smell the smell of the wood burning. They didn't say the word fire, but that's the best way I can describe is how this communication happened. It made it really hard to be back here on Earth and try to communicate people with words, because they're so inadequate and it sucks so bad compared to that communication that I had there, especially with my wife. I love her to death, but I can send a text a certain way. And if she, you know, if she can take it however she's feeling in that moment, I might mean it in a good way, but if she's grumpy or something, she could take it as a bad text. I have to send so many of those emojis to people now when I text, because I try to put emotions in with what I talk to people with. And that's the closest I can come here on Earth, which is not even close to how they communicated with me there.
All right, let's take a quick breath here.
Okay.
Because I have some questions that I'm going to forget if we get too far down the road.
Whenever you have questions, you cut me off. You go ahead so I can answer.
I hate to do that, and your story is so beautiful. I did not want to do that, but let's do this. Let's get caught up, and then we'll move forward some more in just a couple of minutes. So my first question is, you were in this state of, I'm not going to say a place, but a state where you were above the ambulance, everything was stressful, and then all of a sudden, you were in this beautiful grassy place. Do you think there was anything that you did or thought or said that triggered you to go from one to the other?
Nothing. The best way I can describe it is that being in that state or that realm of what I was feeling was almost like a little bit of a lesson to me, because I was not living a good life at the time. I've always been a kind, loving person to people, but I was a drug addict. You know, I did bad things to get drugs, like steal from family members, I cheat, just not living a good life. And I almost, like, looking back, that it was almost kind of like, I try not to get religious with this, but like I said, it almost felt like I was in hell at that point where I was. And so I didn't say or do anything necessarily to all of a sudden, boom, be somewhere else. But I did get to a point where I didn't feel like I could take it anymore. Like, I thought I was gonna explode almost. And that's when I went to the next place.
You were thinking that you needed help, it sounds like. So yours was not a typical life review. It was almost like, based on the life you've lived, here's where you're at. I'm not going to say your reward or your punishment, but, you know, this is where you got yourself. Okay, that's a fact of life. Now let's show you what the possibilities can be that are so much better.
Exactly. And I actually did have a type of life review that we can get to in a moment, that I was shown things from my past, and they explained the power of prayer to me during those things. So that'll be in just a moment. So any other questions you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me more about the grass. I've had other experiencers tell me that they felt love from grass and it seemed really alive. Do you feel like you were barefoot and you were actually feeling it, or was it more just emotions coming to you?
It was both. It was both. And I felt, like I said, when I looked out towards that hill in the distance, I could still see every single blade of grass. Like, imagine if you're standing in a football field, if you look down and focus, you can start seeing each blade. But if you focus up far ahead, the grass just kind of meshes. You don't see it anymore. But I could still, as I was looking out, I could still see each blade of grass. And I did feel that each blade, in a way, I don't know what to call it, almost had its own spirit type thing. Not, I don't know exactly. That's kind of the best way to describe it, because it was sending me love. I felt that emotionally, and it sounds weird to people because, like I said, it's just grass. But no, this each individual blade was connecting with me in a way to comfort me from being where I just was to all of a sudden in this big field. That was a big difference that was kind of shocking to me at first.
I think that's a good way to put it. Now, I find it interesting that with your grandfather, your niece, and then the woman and the man, did you see actual physical features of any of them, or did they all just appear as light and you knew who they were?
No, so my grandpa and my niece were two of many of those lights behind that hill. But this man and woman that came and started speaking with me, like I said, through emotions and through feelings, they were very real. They were very, very real. And those are the two that I saw. But my grandpa and my niece, they were lights and I felt them. But yes, these other two people were actually there with me. And as I looked back on it, honestly, I can't remember if I ever saw my own body. Kind of if you're standing and talking, you don't even really see the tip of your nose type thing. So I'm not saying that I didn't, but I don't remember seeing my own. but those two people that were talking to me, absolutely. Like I said, I knew I was related to them somehow. And I don't know how, but I know that for a fact. And I can't describe it in words, because everything that was conveyed to me was through like spiritual and emotional and experiences.
Do you feel like they had a purpose? Some people describe a guardian angel or a guide or something. Do you think they had a purpose for you?
Yes, that's one thing that they communicated with me, is that those two were allowed to come to that spot, wherever that spot was, to come there and speak with me and share very amazing things with me. But they told me that they were allowed to meet me there. I know there's life after this life, and I don't know everything about it. When I tell a story, I don't claim to know everything. You know, I'm still trying to figure it out too. And that's why I welcome viewers to expand on it and think, you know, however it touches them in their heart and what they think. But I knew that that was their purpose, to be there and to teach me two very important lessons. You know, after you're done with some of your questions, I can get into what those two things that they taught me were, and not just even taught me, but showed me.
I'm done. Let's go ahead and move forward. Tell me some of the things that they taught you, showed you, and then I'm not going to let you forget your life review also. I want to hear about that. So whichever you'd rather talk about first.
My life review right now, I'll let you guys determine if it was a life review or not, but that's where this part begins, is that they were speaking to me and telling me just how loved I was and how I always had loved ones, like you said, like guardian angels around me, that they were always there to help, but they couldn't always help unless I asked for it, unless I, in a way, prayed for it. And like I said, when I say prayer, don't think of it religiously. The way they are explaining it to me is that prayer is such a powerful tool and weapon for anybody living on this world, that you have a line of communication with what they taught me was with our Heavenly Father, our Creator, whatever people want to call Him. If it's your will, because we have free agency down here, because we're here to learn things. But if in certain times need help, we can pray for help. And there's certain guardian angels, passed on loved ones that are allowed to help us in moments. And they can't always do it unless we actually ask, because that's our will to ask and ask for help, because we have that free agency. And when they're sharing this with me, I kind of questioned them. Right then, I remember having this thought and this feeling of, what do you mean prayer is so powerful and prayer is real? Because I remember being homeless for years. I remember being a drug addict, living behind churches, sleeping on gravel, you know, holding up signs for money, being humiliated, like being at a point in my life where I would have to hold up a sign begging for money, and I would give little prayers and stuff, and it never seemed to work for me. And so I kind of questioned that to them. And that's when they showed me this vision type thing. It was almost like this hologram type vision that I could have almost stepped into, but it was of me at a certain point in my life, where there was this one night in late in Utah when I was homeless. On certain nights, I would go to this Little Caesars behind in the dumpsters when they would throw out stuff. And if I could be the first one there before other people or animals, I could get something to eat. And I remember this one night behind this dumpster, and this was at a very, very dark, dark time in my life, because I had lost everything to my drug use. And I remember picking this piece of pizza up out of the dirty dumpster, not even in a box. I mean, straight just out of the dumpster. It had marks taken out of it. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, Landon, if this is all you're worth in this world, and if this is the best you can do, then you this is your last night on earth. You've pushed everybody away. You've lost everything. You are worthless in this world now. No one loves you. I remember thinking too, like there couldn't be a creator or God that loves someone or something like me who's just holding up signs for money, doing nothing in life with being selfish and for my drugs. And as I was holding this pizza, I started thinking of, what's the easiest way I can commit suicide tonight? What's the least painful way that I can? And I remember, and this is on earth that I'm telling you this story. I remember as I was thinking that and was committed to committing suicide, all of a sudden I felt this just hug come from behind me. And I physically felt that hug. And I remember because when I felt it, I kind of turned. It almost like scared me in a way, thinking someone came up, and nothing was there. And it continued. I continued to feel it, and all those horrible emotions went away, and that thought of suicide went away. And they showed me this moment. And for a moment, while I was up there with them, I felt how I felt in that moment again. And when they showed me this moment that I was contemplating suicide, all of a sudden I saw these lights come down to me behind that dumpster. Beautiful lights that were like behind that hill. I was taught that those lights were literally prayers that came to me in that moment. When they showed me that moment of when I felt that hug on earth, because it didn't make sense to me back then at the time. But they showed me this moment when these lights came to me. I saw these dark things just take off. And they were dark, like wispy things. They didn't have a form. It's hard to describe them. But I saw these dark things just flee from me in that moment when I was having those thoughts. And they were communicating with me like, do you not see the power of prayer? And I know that those were prayers from other people, like my parents and family members, who were terrified that they were going to get a call soon someday that I was dead or overdosed. All my loved ones and people were praying for me. And to them, you know, they had been praying and they didn't see anything outcome from their prayers, but they didn't stop praying for me. And that's what they're communicating to me, that look at these prayers from your family members, both here on earth and on the other side here, that are always there to protect you and help you. And this time I didn't ask for it. I was going to commit suicide. And so all these people on earth here that were praying for me, they didn't know that their prayers were being answered at that time. You know, they could have had question like me. Like, I've prayed before and I never chose to see any miracle come from a prayer, but they physically showed me this, and that's what I felt, that hug. And I didn't see anybody or anything, but in this moment that they showed me and these lights come and these dark things take off, and they explained to me, now do you see how powerful prayer is? And how if the people who were praying for me thought that their prayers weren't being heard or answered because maybe they're like, he's still a drug addict, he's still homeless. They could have easily thought that and given up on the idea that we have a loving creator who hears our prayers, and our prayers aren't always answered in a way that we think they need to be answered. But I'll tell you, if you pray with a sincere heart and open mind, they're going to be answered, and it's going to be in ways that are so much better than what you're thinking your prayer should be for someone or for yourself. Like, a lot of times I was locked up in jail and that saved my life, because it was crazy instances that I would get locked up for. It was always drug use, but the way I would get arrested and stuff literally would save my life. And I wasn't showing those parts during this, but after seeing that one moment, it shut me up quick and let me know that prayer is so powerful and it is so real. I wish others could have seen and experienced what I did to know the power of prayer. And that's why I try to tell people never stop praying. Even if you're not seeing a specific outcome you want, it's being heard and being answered in ways that are you could never imagine, because no one else knew that those prayers saved me from committing suicide that night behind that dumpster. And so in a way, that was kind of a life review, I guess you could say, a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, they were showing you things that happened and you got a whole new perspective on them. Was there anything else that the young lady and that the man communicated directly to you? Any specifics that you want to share?
So the other one, there was a lot of very personal things that they communicated with me. And one big one I've only ever shared with my parents just recently, and my wife and my brother, which I won't share on this platform. It's very personal and it's amazing. But the other biggest thing that they shared with me is that, look, you just felt your family members, you know that they're still progressing and doing work. Wherever behind that hill was that I couldn't go behind, I don't know what that place was. You know, like I said, it seemed like there was three realms, one above the ambulance, and then one in that field, and then whatever was behind that hill. But they were communicating with me about how families can be together forever. And your lost loved ones, anybody who's lost a child, a mother, a grandfather, grandmother, sister, brother, anything. They were telling me, and I was able to feel them from behind there. So they were teaching me again that this life is not the end, but also what we do in this life matters very much. Like I said, I'm trying to put this in words the best way I can, because how they were describing it to me was just made such perfect sense through emotions. But people like to think that our creator or God is just this judging, hateful person. But no, our creator is so loving that here on earth, we have free will, which is the most loving thing you could ever give someone, is free will. And it sucks that a lot of people on this earth choose to do bad things with that. But what we do here matters. And we're going to carry that with us into the next life and continue learning. They're showing me and telling me that there is life after this, and what I do matters. And that's almost why I say I feel like I needed that experience above the ambulance to feel the pain and anguish that I felt throughout my life, but all at once. And then when it almost became too much, I was up there in that grass field, and it's like they were giving me these baby step lessons, kind of one at a time, to have me be more comfortable with the lessons they were sharing. But they also shared two things with me about my future. The way they shared it with me, it wasn't like a vision this time, but they shared two things that it's not like it was set in stone, but to be aware of. One of those things happened and I did not handle it the way I should have. It caused me a lot of pain and anguish from that. And the other thing hasn't happened yet. But from that first thing, having that, again, that confirmation of what they were sharing with me, it was a real experience. And that it was like these things they shared were almost like it's a fork in the road landed, but just know you're loved and you have help if you ask, but it's your choice to choose how you handle it. And the first one I didn't handle good. And the second one hasn't happened yet. And it's a very personal thing. And maybe someday I'll share those two things. But I will say that even though that first thing I didn't handle correct, again, it was very validating for me to know that this experience was real and what they were communicating with me was real.
Well, if you want to circle back with me someday and tell me about that, you know, what has happened since then, we can do that.
I held this in for a long time, this experience, because I was scared of ridicule and people thinking I was crazy. And it almost happened almost 2 years ago. And I only just recently told my family, even a few months ago, the story. And no one's ever heard the full story. And I don't know if anybody ever will hear the full story, because there was things that I were very personal that I was told not to tell. And then there were those two very important things that I know is why I was able to come back to this earth. And I'm not going to keep those messages and miracles that I was given of knowing how powerful prayer is and knowing that we will see our family members again after this life, because I questioned both of those also before this experience. I'm not scared of ridicule anymore. And I don't want fame. I don't want money. I just want to give people hope like was given to me. When this accident happened, I mean, I could send you pictures of the brain injury, because they had to cut my skull open from here all the way back down and then up around my ear and put stents in my head to drain all the spinal cord fluid and the blood. And it, I mean, it looks, it's terrible. I think I had like 80 something staples all the way around my head and back up. And, you know, they thought I was going to die. It kept telling my wife, if you live past 24 hours, it'll be a miracle.
First off, you can hold off on the pictures. I've had a couple of other people on the show recently send me the gory pictures, and I've seen enough for this month anyway. And our listeners, I've gotten a couple comments like, don't post any of those anymore. So I'm not going to do that. Yeah, a minute ago, you mentioned that you learned a lot about free will. And do you remember, was there a point where you were given a choice? Hey, Landon, time to go back to your body or time to stay here?
No, I was not told that or given that choice. I just recently started searching into NDEs after mine happened. And I've heard people have had that. But what happened with me is when they were finishing up telling me all these incredible things and very personal things, I felt this one last huge wave from all those lights behind that hill just rush over me, as if thousands of people were giving me this bear hug type thing. But the coolest thing is that loving feeling I got from all those lights was also the feeling of, we're still here, we love you, and we'll see you again. And I remember hearing and feeling those words, just do your best, but we love you and we will see you again.
That is beautiful. And then what was it like coming back into your body? I think that's what you were just getting to.
I felt so incredible there, but as soon as that last, I love you, I'll see you again, goodbye, boom, I came back, but I was above my body watching myself get brain surgery at this point. Because at the last point that I was above my body, it was above the ambulance. And now at this point, I'm above my body watching them do brain surgery. They had part of my head sectioned off and something. And I don't like blood or gory stuff either, you know. And so you can imagine me all of a sudden being where I was to seeing myself with my head being open and drill, like, I have four titanium plates and a little titanium clip that's holding my skull and stuff back together. And all those horrible feelings came back that I had when I was above the ambulance. All those same type of feelings came back. And it's like I was just stuck there watching this for a minute. And I would have rather felt the physical pain of that brain injury than the emotional and spiritual pain that I was feeling when I was above my body again. I just remember when it got to a point again that I felt like I could not handle it, I heard that young woman's voice that I was up there with. I heard her voice, and I this time I didn't feel it emotionally like I was up there, but I heard her voice, and she said, Landon, it's time, as I'm watching it, part of this brain surgery. And it kind of shocked me for a second, like, what? And she said it a second time, Landon, it's time. And that's when all of a sudden I just remember opening my eyes and my family was above me in a hospital room. And so I don't know how time works, you know, wherever I was compared to down here on Earth. I don't know how time correlates exactly. It's still hard for me to try to put those puzzle pieces together of how time worked. I remember waking up with my family above me, and that's when all that horrible emotional pain and stuff was gone, that I was above my body. And when I opened my eyes, I remember seeing these dark, wispy things, again, just like behind that dumpster, take off out of my hospital room. And what's crazy about that is, I guess when I first came out of surgery, and the surgery was like 4 hours long, and they kept telling my wife, we're trying to do this to just to see if he can last 24 hours. We're not sure what's going to happen. If this surgery doesn't work, we're going to have to fly him to Salt Lake. But luckily it worked, but they were still telling them it was such extensive brain damage that I got that they didn't know if I would remember them. They didn't know if I'd be able to walk or talk again or be a vegetable, or they just knew I was alive and on a ventilator. And I guess one of the first things that I actually said, and I don't remember this part either, I think it was like 2 days after I finally got off the ventilator and kind of came to, and I guess I asked my wife, I just said, call my father. I need a priesthood blessing. Which in the LDS church, because I am LDS, or people say Mormon, it's just a spiritual blessing. Him and one of our neighbors came and gave me a blessing. And I believe that blessing is, again, is what made those dark things that were, it's like those things were holding me above my body in that state of terror and confusion. And those things that I saw just flee out of the hospital room. I believe that blessing, that prayer type thing, you know, if people want to think of it that way, is what made these things leave again. My dad just basically, his blessing was, I bless this hospital room that my son will fully recover and there will be nothing in here to be able to hinder his recovery mentally or physically. I just remember when I came to, seeing those things fly out of my room again, and I was able to recover so remarkably fast. Like they said, they didn't know if I would remember my wife, my family, or if I'd be able to walk or talk and all that. And I was out of that neuro ICU, walking, talking, functioning again within just over a month. But I still had to learn how to walk and do speech therapy again. And that sucked. They would tie this like belt to me with a tether behind it and a big like weight on the ground. And I would have to grab a walker and carry that weight around and do speech therapy. But they couldn't believe how quickly I healed, because I was in there with many other people on that neuro ICU unit floor who had same type of injuries or strokes and stuff that passed away, you know, at the exact same time I was in there that they couldn't save, or the ones that were saved, they were affected for the rest of their lives in horrible ways, like being a vegetable or being able to not speak or move parts of their bodies and stuff again. And that's, again, why I won't hide these things I was shown and taught anymore out of fear of ridicule. People can ridicule the heck out of me. That's fine, because the people who need to hear this message of what I experienced are going to feel the sincerity of and the truth of what I experienced and what I was told. And that's why I'm doing these podcasts and not having fear anymore of how crazy people might think I sound. And one really cool thing I'll tell you is that after this experience, I see auras around some people. It's not a lot. I would say out of 100 people, if I was to see 100 people throughout the day, I would see auras around 2, some days more, some days less. But they're these beautiful color auras. And I don't know the meaning of that. it doesn't make sense to me. And it's real. It's not just a trick of my eyes. Trust me, when I've seen it, I've like walked away, shook my head and walked back, and everybody else, you know, looks normal, but that same person will have the same color aura around them. And I hope someday to figure out what that is and what it means. And I've also had a lot more experiences of what I call kind of foresight. I don't like to say psychic because I believe people are born with the gifts and abilities, spiritual gifts of psychics and stuff in certain ways. But I had the ability of foresight for things. And what I believe it is that when I'm living the right way and I have an open heart and mind, I have these gifts all of a sudden. Let's say, for instance, not too long ago, I call it the still small voice. If I'm doing good and living right, I'll have these almost premonitions or someone literally speak in my ear and say, you need to call this person or you need to do this certain thing. And not too long ago, I had that said, you need to call this person right now. And I won't name names, but it's a close friend of mine. And I didn't talk to him in like a year. And so I had that. And I called him. He's just like, why are you calling me now? You know, almost offended. Like, you haven't called me in a year. And I was just like, buddy, I don't know. I just wanted to call and make sure you're doing okay. And throughout that conversation, he explained to me that he was about to commit suicide for things that were going on in his life. And that me just talking with him and having that communication and emotional talk again saved his life. And that's from what I call still small voice I don't like to call them abilities, but I've had those increases in those things. And I believe anybody can actually have, like I said, the gift of discernment, and everybody can definitely have the gift of prayer. Don't think about it religiously. You can have the gift of prayer that will help you. And if you're being a good person, I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate to me about having those moments of something come to your mind that just nags you and won't go away. And if you listen to it, all of a sudden you realize how important it was. I've had those things happen a lot more. But I've also, since I've had those abilities and kind of gifts rise since this accident, since I think about things differently, and I almost feel like the veil maybe is a little thinner for me now from wherever I went, I've also experienced a lot more darkness too. It's like yin and yang. I get these really cool experiences now, but I've also had the opposing experiences happen a lot more too. And it's hard for me. And those opposing forces don't want me sharing this messages on podcasts. I can tell you that from certain things that have happened when I'm supposed to be maybe doing a podcast or trying to share this message. And that's why I pray at the beginning of these podcasts, because I do feel those things, and certain things happen, you know, bad things too, but it's cool. I'm grateful for the good things.
So Landon, before we wrap up, how's your recovery going? You doing well now?
I am. I can't see out of half my left eye because of the big scar on my brain from my brain injury, but I mean, I'm able to walk and talk, which is a miracle. And so I'm grateful for that.
Well, thank you. And your message has been beautiful, especially learning more about prayer. I appreciate it very much. Is there any one last message or summary that you want to leave with us before we sign off?
Yeah, and I'll make it really quick. Pray, 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 pray when you're having hard times for help. And pray with gratitude when you're having good times. Pray for others and know that your lost loved ones, you will see them again. And they are not lost. And they can help you when you pray. And so I would encourage people in this tough world we live in today to pray at all times in their life.
Landon Dennis, thank you so much for being with me today.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.